let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arise in heaven, opens. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. Power over darkness, freedom for the human.
Why are we here? We are here to remind ourselves that Christmas is more than shopping, busyness, expectations. We are here to slow down in the middle of the gifts, our traditions, our plans. We are here to remember God's plan, that He left His throne, and on a silent night in a dirty manger, He changed everything. We are here because Christmas means God deeply loves us and provided a way for us to be with Him. We are here because the great gift of hope, of joy, of peace, and of love was given to us. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing. That's why we are here.
Well, good morning, church. Merry Christmas. How are we doing today? Doing good? I'm the high school pastor here. My name's Pastor Owen. And I just want to say welcome. It's good to see all y'all's faces. It's a good day to be here. But before we get into the service, we are going to read our vision statement as a church. This is our statement that we just like to live out the culture that we're trying to set and just the culture that we have here as the CCC family. So let's read it together. We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Now, as I look around, I see some kids' faces. I love that. Thanks for being here, kids. But for those of you parents who maybe have a kid that's a little bit energetic and loves to move around, we have some different options for our kids just because we're thankful that you guys are here. But we have some different options. Those will be on the screen. We have little bags that we're out in the gathering grounds that you can get for your child. We will also be live streaming the service in the gathering grounds as well as in Classroom 11. If maybe your kiddo is a little bit more high energy, likes to run around, we have some places where they can go. That way you don't feel like you need to step out. But we're just very thankful that you guys are here and that you brought your kids to the service today. Also, we're going to be doing a scripture reading. This is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. It says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now I'm just going to say a quick prayer before we get into worship. So would you please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you for this Christmas time. God, for every single person that's here, every adult, every child, God, they're here on purpose because you have a purpose for them. God, I pray that they would feel your love radiating through our congregation, through the staff here, through the volunteers. God, I pray that your presence would just come down and be in the room and be amongst us. God, we thank you for sending your son to come and live a human life and to die on the cross and make that ultimate payment and sacrifice for our sins. We thank you and we love you, God. Amen. Amen and amen. Can I have everybody stand up to their feet? We're about to go into a time of worship. Worship is a time where we can lift up our voices, we can sing from our heart, and we can just come together as a congregation and worship God together. Let's worship.
All right. Feel a little bit like Marty McFly. But because you guys might not be ready for this, but we've got some beautiful songs. Before we get into those, though, we are going to jam out and celebrate because Jesus Christ is born, and that is worth celebrating. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go.
Holy upon that city wall. If I am a Christian, I am the least of all. And I said, go tell it on the mountain.
Just a lowly girl from a simple family. Who am I that angels speak my name? Called to be the mother of the one who comes to save.
Lord, we thank you so much for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son. That was the whole purpose. That's what we're remembering. That's what we're celebrating together here tonight with our friends and family, our church family. God, we thank you so much. It truly is a holy night. So come and spend the time with us, Lord. We invite you here. We want to hear from you. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to be doing our scripture reading of the story of the birth of Jesus from Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was taken while Quirinius was a governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so thankful that each and every one of you decided to join us for Christmas this year. My name is Pastor Rachel, and I have the honor of leading kids' services on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights here. So if you are a kid in this room, can you just wave to me so that I can say hi to you? Oh my goodness. Look at all those amazing kids. This is awesome. Also, hello to the adults who wave when I say kids wave. That's great too. Well, hey, I am so glad to be here today, and I get to share a kid's message that's going to help us better understand the message that Pastor Steve is going to share later today. And so today for Christmas, we are talking about something called the lower story and the upper story. And so first I want to share with you about the lower story. What does that mean? Well, the lower story is when we look at life through our own eyes. We look at life with our own perspective. It's the natural, normal thing to do. But here are some examples of looking at life through the lower story. Let's say you have a friend who you're really close to. Maybe some of you guys have a best friend, right? But then they start to pick on you. They start to bully you. And all of a sudden, you feel really sad and betrayed. And you wonder, why did this happen to me? Or maybe another example of the lower story is you're the kind of person who runs the slowest mile in your class, like me. Or maybe you missed the winning goal at a really exciting game. And you feel like, man, I'm a failure because I did that. Another example of the lower story is maybe you're moving to a new place where you don't know anybody and you start to get really afraid and you think, will I ever make any friends? Will I even like it there? That's what the lower story means. And the lower story is kind of like, we'll show this on the screen today. It's kind of like this lens. And maybe you can see through this lens that we have our really bright candy cane, and it looks almost even brighter through this lens, and it kind of magnifies it. And when we look at life through the lower story, we think that our feelings, our fears, the things that make us confused and sad and scared and alone, that's what we need to focus on. But then we have the upper story. And the upper story just means looking at life through God's eyes, looking through His perspective. It's something like this. When your best friend starts to pick on you and make you feel really sad, and instead of focusing on those feelings of being betrayed, you say, well, maybe God is leading me to new friendships or to learn how to love my enemies. It's if you are the person who you miss the winning goal in a game, maybe that's God saying, where does your identity really come from? It's not about what you do. It's about being a child of God. That's the upper story. The upper story is when you're moving to a new place and you don't know what's going to happen, instead of focusing on your fear, you focus on trusting God and His incredible plan for your life and knowing that He has something special for you ahead. When we, instead of looking at the lower story, when we shift our perspective to the higher story, instead we just kind of see the sparkly things that are behind what's right in front of us, God's special plan for our lives. Instead of focusing on what's right in front of us, we get to think about what's happening behind this. What is God really doing here? And so today, when we talk about the Christmas story, Pastor Steve is going to share what does the lower story and the upper story have to do with Christmas? But most importantly, what is God going to teach us about our lives through it? So let's pay very close attention to Pastor Steve's message today. But before that, let's go ahead and join in prayer.
Merry Christmas, church, for about the 84th time you'll hear that today. My name is Weldon. I also work in kids with Pastor Rachel. It's my honor and blessing to be up here this morning, and I want to give a quick shout out to my grandpa years ago. He went on to be with Jesus, but every time I say the Lord's Prayer, I think of my grandpa Gray, and so I just want to shout out to him in heaven, and if you will just say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please stand and greet those around you and just welcome them to church today? Well, good afternoon, everyone. How many of you have ever heard of the three phases of a man's life? So what are the three phases of a man's life? The phase one, he believes in Santa Claus. Phase two, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Phase three, he looks like Santa Claus. So what did Adam say to his wife on the night before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. Sorry about that. So anyways, The first service didn't get that, by the way. So you guys got that special blessing. So many years ago, I was at a pastor's conference. And on a break, I decided to go to the restroom. And I walked into this restroom, and I can't explain, but something just seemed off. All right? First of all, I noticed there was only toilets. And then I kept going, and there was like this bar where you could sit. And I'm like, you guys bring like laptops in here and work? I mean, it wasn't my idea of bright, being bright, but it was like, you know, who knows, right? So I remember just being in this room and thinking to myself, you know, just something doesn't seem right. And all of a sudden the door behind me opened and I looked and it was a woman. And I remember just kind of looking at, we both look like, you know, red in the face and stuff like that. And I remember just thinking to myself, you know, we all make mistakes. You know, she's probably just having a really bad day. I mean, I'm like, and then my mind kind of went to a dark place and I'm like, you know, maybe she's not the brightest person. You know, I mean, just being honest here for a moment. And, but whatever, you know. So I turned back around and all of a sudden the door opened again and I looked and it was another woman. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people around here? You know, what's wrong with the people here? And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, and then it hit me. They weren't in the wrong place. I was. And I can only imagine what they were thinking. You know, what's wrong with him? Some people make the dumbest decision. I'm glad he's not my pastor. But as soon as I learned what was going on, literally I became as white as a ghost and I sprinted out of there like I was training for the Olympics. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't take my credentials from me. But any of you ever had a day like that where it just seems like you're walking through the wrong door? Maybe you've had a year like that. Maybe as we come to the end of 2025, you've had a relationship that was once so close and it's become severed and you don't even talk to each other anymore, and you sense that hurt in your heart. For some of us, maybe it's anxiety and depression. Maybe that is our constant companions. And, you know, we come to a service like this, and we have our makeup on, and we smile, but behind closed doors, we're really struggling. What do you do when you feel like you're walking through the wrong door? And what does this have to do with the Christmas story? Well, let's try to jump back into the story of Christmas. And at the time that it took place, when Jesus was born, the Roman Empire ruled most of the known world. And the leader of the Roman Empire was this guy named Caesar Augustus. And back in that day and age, people kind of looked at him like a god. And he was like treated like a king. And it was kind of his way or the highway. And he issued that a census should be taken. Now, that would be kind of like the government today if all of a sudden they issued that a census would be taken. And they did this to discover, A, where does everyone live? How much money do you make? And who's eligible for military service? That was the purpose behind it. So Caesar issued this decree that a census should be taken. And as a result, this young couple had to make this 70-mile trip. Say 70. A 70-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, let's just put that into perspective. That'd be like going from Rochester to Minneapolis. And to make matters worse, the lady, Mary, was pregnant. Now, how many of you have ever been pregnant before? I haven't. And you're like, really? Yeah, I haven't, you know. But I can only imagine the difficulty. I don't know, maybe she had some cravings. You know, I've heard that ladies, when they get pregnant, have unique cravings. Maybe she craved fish or bread or Spam or something. And so Mary is pregnant, and she has to make this trip. And some people think she was on a donkey. We don't really know for sure. She might have just walked, her and Joseph. So imagine being pregnant and walking or going this 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, I can't. Just the pelvic pain she must have felt, the hot, the cold, the bumpy ride might have triggered contractions. And scholars say that this trip would have taken about 5 to 10 days. And I don't know, maybe as they were going on this trip, they thought to themselves, we've gone through the wrong door. This just doesn't seem right. Now, there's an interesting detail in the story. It says, they went up to Judea. What is that all about? Well, in other words, they were kind of walking uphill. I don't know if you ever experienced this as a kid, but you know, you complain to your parents and they say, you know what? Quit complaining. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles uphill to school both ways. Anyone know what I'm talking about there? And they had to walk uphill a lot of the way. And they might have thought to themselves, you know, we walked through the wrong door. And they're on their way to Bethlehem. I don't know if there were signs back then, but maybe there was a sign that said Bethlehem in 10 miles. And what's interesting is that, I don't know if you know this, but Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. And the baby that was going to be born in the house of bread later said this about himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Isn't that interesting that the bread of life was going to be born in the house of bread? Is that a coincidence? No, coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous. All right, so I'm sure the trip was difficult, 70 miles uphill. But maybe when they got to town, they probably thought to themselves, you know, okay, it was a tough trip, but that's in the past. We're going to just check into the hotel, order room service, you know, sardines and onions, and then rest in our Sleep Number bed. That's maybe what they thought. I don't know. But to their surprise, there was no room available for them. The town was packed because everyone was in town for the census. So where did they end up staying? And where did Jesus, the Son of God, end up being born? The Ritz? Warm lighting? Soft pillow? No. He was born in a place that was dirty, dark, and reserved for animals. They might have smelt the smell of animals, the hay, the sound of breathing livestock, the cold stone under their feet. And get this, they're in God's will. Now, one of the things I learned from this story is that being in God's will isn't always easy. Is anyone listening? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Mary and Joseph were in God's will, and it was very hard. And if it was hard for them, who are we to think it's not going to be hard for us? You say, well, Steve, I'm following God's will. I'm doing what God wants me to do, but it's so hard. I just seem to be meeting all of this resistance. I seem to be facing all of these challenges. If I'm in God's will, why is it so hard? So when I became a follower of Jesus many years ago, I had this misbelief that, well, now that I'm a Christian, life's going to be easy. Sunshine and roses. But as I begin to read the Bible, and by the way, the Bible shows us the nature of true reality. The Bible shows us the nature of true reality from God's perspective. As I begin to study the Bible, I realize, wait a minute. God never promised an easy life, but he did promise no matter what dark road we're going down, he would be with us. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Say will. He doesn't say you might. He doesn't say there's a possibility. He says, you will, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So yes, sometimes or often doing God's will is hard. So again, think about it. She's pregnant, maybe on a donkey from Rochester to Minneapolis, uphill the whole time. I don't know. They then don't even have room for them in the inn. They end up staying in this, the baby is born in a feeding trough for animals. We call it a manger, but it was a feeding trough. And if I was like looking at this story, I might have thought, what a lousy story, those poor people. But what if there's something else going on? What if at the same time that that's happening, there's something higher happening? What if God is using that lower story to orchestrate something in the upper realm? Now, to understand this, we need to rewind the story a little bit. And I want you to think about how Caesar Augustus, remember we talked about him earlier, but he made the decree of the census. Do you remember when we said that? Say yes, please. Remember that? He made this decree that a census should be taken. Now get this. Because of that, now little did he know that this was happening, but because he issued that decree in the lower story, a 700-year-old prophecy took place in the upper story. In fact, if we go back to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, now this was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Where did it say the ruler would come from? Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? Now, let's put this into perspective. Imagine someone doing a prophecy for the year 2725. That's 700 years from now. Or someone back in 1325 saying that something was going to happen this year, 700 years ago. 700 years before Christ was born, the prophecy is that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So why was the Messiah born in Bethlehem? Because Caesar Augustus, in the lower story, issued this census that caused them to go uphill 70 miles pregnant. But it was because of that in the lower story that this upper story prophecy was fulfilled 700 years later. Now, did Caesar know that when he issued that decree? No. Did Mary and Joseph know that as they were going through that difficult trip? Probably not. But here's what I want to encourage you with. Faith is trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Faith is trusting in advance what will make sense in reverse. That Mary and Joseph at the time, that difficult journey, the difficulties they experienced, little did they know that God was doing something eternal in the upper realm. One of my favorite verses is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Say understanding. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now that verse does not say we'll understand everything. We won't. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. In fact, sometimes I have a hard time understanding myself. It doesn't say we'll understand everything. But what it does say, trust me. Trust me. You know, if I could summarize the Christian life in one word, it'd be this. Trust. Faith. And let's remember what faith means. Fantastic adventure in trusting him. Fantastic adventure in trusting him. We're not going to understand everything. You say, "Steve, why has this happened? Why did that happen?" I don't know, but I do know the one who's in control. So many years ago, John Kavanaugh was this brilliant ethicist and a great scientific mind, and he was kind of at a fork in the road, and he kind of was looking for direction and clarity in his life. So he decided to make a pilgrimage to Calcutta and meet with Mother Teresa. And he wanted to get guidance from Mother Teresa. And so I can only imagine after he got off the airplane that, you know, it was probably scorching heat and dust. And as he went through the town, it was all the people. And he sat down in front of Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Oh, man, I'm really struggling. Mother Teresa, would you just pray that I would have clarity in my life?" Without missing a beat, she didn't pause. She said, "No, I won't do that. He's like, what? He was confused. Why? She looked at him and said, because clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go. She then leaned forward and said, I've never had clarity, but what I've had is trust. And then she smiled and said, so I'll pray that you trust God. Where is God asking you to trust him? You say, Steve, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why that person turned on me. I don't understand this. I don't know that I have the answers. But I do know that God says, trust me. Even when it hurts, even when you're going through that lower story and it's difficult, have faith, fantastic adventure in trusting him, that he is doing something in the upper story. You may not even learn about it until eternity. You may not even learn about it for 20 years from now. But that's where faith comes in. So we've been talking a lot today about the upper story and the lower story. And again, it's the concept that imagine there's a lower story, and then simultaneously there's an upper story going on. They're both happening at the same time. And in the lower story, it's what we see from a human perspective. It's the everyday events, the personal struggles, the emotions, and often these things seem random and chaotic and ordinary. But then there's the upper story, and the upper story represents God's perspective, God's larger plan, his eternal purpose, his plan of redemption unfolding throughout history. And often what he's doing, we can't see. We don't understand. But that's where faith comes in. The Bible says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good. Now, this isn't a promise for everyone, but it's a promise for those that love God, that God can bring good out of everything. And see, this lower and upper story, it's happening simultaneously. You know, think back to the Christmas story. In the lower story, humans saw a census. God saw the fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy. Humans saw a pregnancy scandal. God saw the incarnation. Humans saw a manger. God saw the arrival of a king. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Steve, I feel like I've walked through the wrong door. Maybe it's a wrong job, a wrong relationship, a wrong choice, a wrong timing. And if that's you, I just want to say I'm sorry you feel that way, and I want to show you empathy, and I don't pretend to know God's will for your life, but here's something I think we can learn from this story. Even when it appears like we're walking through the wrong door, God may be leading us towards our Bethlehem, the place where we will discover his sovereign will. So don't give up. It's always too soon to quit. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So just another time when I felt like I'd walked through the wrong door. In 2002, 4 years earlier, God had asked my wife and I to start this church. And at that time, we had no money or no money, no members, no building, no people. It was just me and my wife and my mom and dad. You could fit our whole church in a phone booth and have room to grow. So he'd called us to start this church, and so we just took a leap of faith, and we started to follow God, and it seemed like everything was really being blessed, and our church seemed to really be growing. But then around 2002, there were this conflict, this unresolved conflict that just seemed to be eating away at the church. And one day I found myself literally in a deep pit of depression and a deep pit of anxiety. And I remember at the time, just at times thinking, I'd see people laugh and I'd think, what's there to be happy about? If you've ever dealt with depression, it's kind of like you're wearing dark glasses and everything seems so bleak. And as I think back to that time in 2002, that was one of the most painful, difficult seasons of my life. I wouldn't wish it on no one. And I still remember during that time thinking, I've walked through the wrong door. I'm in the wrong place. In fact, I was going to quit. But God said, Steve, I'm not done with you yet. So by the grace of God, I got through that season in 2002. And afterwards, our district asked me to start teaching the lessons that I'd learned through that time through other pastors. And by the way, about that time, I started to hear a whisper that God wanted me to write a book someday. Now you fast forward it to the year 2025. And what's amazing is that God used that painful experience back in 2002 to accomplish one of my greatest dreams, and that is to write a book. But little did I know, as I was going back through this experience in 2002, that that is the very thing that God was going to use in 2025 to accomplish one of my biggest goals, is to write a book. And that book is coming out January 11th. It's called The Four Keys to Mental Health. And we're going to, as a church, be doing a church-wide study on it starting January 11th. And you're all invited to join us. But here's the question of the day. What door are you standing in front of right now? And maybe it feels like the wrong door. Maybe it's a door marked loss, confusion, depression, disappointment. But what if the door you are not looking forward to walking through is actually the door God is going to lead you to your Bethlehem? What if this season that feels like a mistake is a part of a much bigger story that you just don't understand? Today, your next step may not be clarity or answers. It may be just trust. Trust me. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. So here's the invitation. Don't sprint out of this season. Don't assume you've failed. Don't decide too quickly you've ruined God's plan. Instead, pause. Lift up your eyes and say, God, I don't understand this door, but I trust you in what's on the other side. Because sometimes the door you think is wrong is the very thing that God is going to use to lead you exactly to where He wants you to be. Father God, I thank you for just allowing us to be here tonight. God, thank you for the Christmas story. And God, we're reminded that often following you is not easy. Often it's downright hard. It's difficult. We think of the difficulties that Mary and Joseph experienced following your will. We think about Jesus dying on the cross. We think about the difficulties Paul went through. I pray for anyone today that if the truth to be known, internally they're struggling, God. They're going through a difficult season in the lower story. God, I believe that no one is here by accident, whether they're in person or watching online. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would infuse in them hope, infuse in them persistence, infuse in them courage. Oh God, thank you that our strength comes from above. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Oh God, help us to trust you, even when you don't have clarity. Help us to trust in advance what will only make sense in reverse. God, help us to just trust your sovereignty, that you are the sovereign King of the universe, that you're God and we're not, that we can just be still and know that you're God. God, forgive us for the times that we try to do your job, for the times we try to tell you what to do and try to run your world. Oh God, we surrender today to your sovereign control of the universe. Help us to respond to the challenges that we face in a Christ-like way. Thank you for the Christmas story and how you used a decree in the lower story, the census, to fulfill a 700-year-old prophecy. Oh God, you're just beyond us. We trust you. We worship you. We praise you. You are the creator of the galaxies, the sun, the stars. We just bow before you because in you we live and move and have our being. And tonight we've come to just worship baby Jesus, who came to where we are so we could be where he is in heaven. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Well, good afternoon and Merry Christmas. Matthew 2:11 tells us, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as we prepare to present our offerings, let us reflect on this profound act of giving demonstrated by the Magi. These wise men first offered their worship, bending their knees and their hearts before Christ child, before they offered their gifts. Their treasures were not a casual donation, but a physical expression of their adoration for the newborn king. And tonight, as we bring our offerings, may our action be rooted in that same spirit. Let the presentation of our financial gifts be a genuine act of worship, a demonstration of love, gratitude, a devotion of worship, a devotion of worship to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. Our giving supports the ongoing work of this church as we share the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the community and beyond. On the screen, you're going to see ways that you can give, and we also have the opportunity to give in person. And the ushers are going to come forward in a few minutes to receive your worship. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, our world at times can appear very dark, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we prepare to sing Silent Night and light the candles, I want to encourage you to follow my lead if you're able. On the first verse, I want to encourage you to hold your candle just about above your waist and remember that Christ's light first came quietly into the dark world. On the second verse, raise it to shoulder height as the light of Christ began to spread and be seen. On the third verse, lift your candle high above your head and then look around to see the light that is shining amongst us. And then in the fourth verse, you can put it back down to your waist. Jesus, thank you for being the light of the world. We invite your light into our hearts. God, fill us with your light, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God, as we leave here tonight, may we just spread that light, and may our collective light bring light in this dark world for your glory. So friends, as you leave today, would you please leave your candles in a, I think they have a bin out there. Make sure you blow your candles out. But thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Merry Christmas.